learn how we can be closer to Him, how we can more glorify Him, how we can wake up tomorrow another day, and that we can learn to be a better example to those around us, and a better way that we can be closer to Him during the week when we are apart from one another. Tonight I want to talk to us about power in numbers. Power in numbers. Whether you know it or not, there is power in numbers. There is power in the people that we hang around with, the people that we're around all the time, whether it be at work or play or family. That's the way that life works. We might like to think of ourselves sometimes as leaders, but really and truly, we're all really following somebody or something. Every once in a while we might have a grand idea, but really we're following other people. And in this case tonight, we're going to be following two things. We're either going to be following righteousness or we're going to be following unrighteousness. There is no new idea under the sun about those two things. And there is a power in which one you choose to follow. There is a power of a group of people that are unrighteous, and there is power in a people that try to stand for righteousness. Kind of prove what I'm talking about, this power in numbers. In a battle, who wins the war? Well, it's going to be the army with the most soldiers, the most artillery, the most firepower. In a government, who gets to pass legislation and an agenda? Well, of course, it's the party with the majority. Whoever the party is has majority. They're the ones that are going to get their agenda passed because they have the most votes. In a home with both parents as Christians, how often are the children going to become lovers of God? Well, very often, because you've got a power of number there. You've got two parents trying to bring up a child in the ways of Christ. On the other hand, in a home with only one parent that is a Christian, or perhaps only one Christian that is what we would say mature in the Word, how often is that child or children going to grow up with a love for God? Well, sadly, probably not as often, because the power in numbers is not there. And why is that? Well, simply because there are power in numbers. Sometimes we say strength in numbers. I'm just choosing to use the word power because it works tonight with the lesson that we have before us. I want to begin in point number one by looking in our notes together and in the Word of God at unrighteous power. See, sometimes power is not always used for the good. We understand that with governments, with people, with dictators. We even understand it with those that are disobedient to God. Would you go with me in your Old Testament to Exodus chapter 32? Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32 is a place where power in numbers is definitely used, but I would not say that it is a righteous power. The people of Israel have been taken out of the bondage of Egyptians, and they are now awaiting their new laws from God as Moses goes upon the mountain to receive them. Exodus chapter 32, would you read with me verses 1 through 4? Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off your golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them to Aaron. He received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Look at verses 7 through 9 with me. The Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" Verse 9, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." A great nation. We see here that there is a power in people at play here. we have a group of people that bond together to say, we'll be disrespectful to God. We don't need the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And we will just form our own God. I was not there. Neither were you. But I just have to think for just a moment that everybody did not stand up at one time and say, let's be disobedient to God. Gather around. Let's make a calf. What happens in situations like this? A few people do it, and a few more join, and a few more join, and then you have all of these people joining together to be unrighteous. Look at the judgment that falls upon them. Look with me in your chapter to verse 30, or let's go 26. Verse 26 through 28. Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side, and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And listen to this, let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000 fell that day. I want us to think of that number, 3,000, because we're going to revisit that in just a few moments in our next point. As I see this group of people that are being unrighteous, may I just give you 3 points? May I give you 3 points, observations of consequences of power in numbers being used against God? The first one I see is this. Well, it is disobedience. Disobedience. Here's the application for us. Sometimes when a large group of people consent to an action, can't we sometimes feel that it's somehow okay to participate in it? You know, everybody's doing it. And by everybody, we mean a large group of people around us, right? So it can't be that bad. I'm not sure if God would be pleased with me or not, but this big group of people, they're doing it. May I remind you the number of people that were killed because of their sin? 3,000 people. 3,000 people is a large multitude of people. Just because everybody's doing it in the 3,000, did that mean that it was okay by God's standards? No. God put to death 3,000 people for their disobedience. Many times today, people look around and they say, well, other people are doing it. It can't be that bad. I can still be a Christian and still do some of these things as well. But that's not the way God saw it. God called them a stiff-necked people. Brethren, there are many things that you can choose tomorrow morning, starting off your work week, whatever it is that you do. There are going to be so many things that you can choose to do because everybody around you is doing it. Whether it be your language, whether it be the way that we dress, the way that we do practically anything, because people around us are doing it. But it is what it is, and it's called disobedience. Do not, brethren and friends, do not say to yourself, people around me are doing it, I think it's okay. I think this starts very early in life, even in elementary, going up to high school and college. That's what we do, right? We see, what are we going to wear? What sports are we going to play? What are we going to do? Well, we look who else is doing it. Well, I think that person seems cool, so we're going to do that. Don't trick yourself into thinking that just because a power of people are doing something, that it's okay. It is not. A second thing that I observe from looking at Exodus 32 in the power, the unrighteous power in this example, is discouragement. Discouragement. Whenever there is a multitude of people acting unrighteous, there is always another group of righteous people close by. As brothers and sisters in Christ, let us think beyond ourselves, kind of like we talked about this morning. Let us think before we do actions that could be unrighteous. It's not just your decision. It's not just your selfish decision to do something sinful, unrighteous. It affects people around you. It discourages people around you. as Christians, when our brothers and sisters in Christ see us doing something, it can either be an encouragement or it can be a discouragement. When we do things around our brothers and sisters in Christ, it can bring people down. Just for instance, tonight, I hate to bring this up, but I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be honest with you. It is a little bit of a discouragement to me to stand up here and look out at you and see how many people are missing from this morning. It is a discouragement. Brethren, we make choices in life, and we could say, hey, there's a lot of people that don't go to services on Sunday nights. And you could say that's okay because a lot of people don't. But it discourages. It discourages. Exodus chapter 32. I want you to look at verse 19 with me. Moses is coming down from the camp and he sees this wickedness. He sees this worship of idols. And what does he say? So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. That's the definition of discouragement there. Moses, here he is, he's up on top of the mountain. He's in the presence of God. He's receiving laws. He comes down and he sees sinfulness. He sees a power of people together, all contemplating to themselves, saying, this must be okay. But it discourages people around us. We need to be mindful of that. If I may, in talking about a power of people, if disobedience to God is not enough to tell you to not be unrighteous in your decisions, if discouragement of others is not good enough, may we consider spiritual death is a consequence of being a member of a power of unrighteousness. Again, we can make all the excuses in our lives and we can say it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, it's okay to miss this, miss that. It's okay if I don't pray enough. It's okay if I don't read my Bible enough. Because, you know, other people don't do it. It's still unrighteous. Still unrighteous. Exodus chapter 32, verse 28. Exodus chapter 32, verse 28. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Now, there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New. In the Old Testament, we see that, well, God just took care of people, didn't He? Sometimes when people are disobedient, they just lost their life. But it's not that way in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have our souls that are put to death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, right? We can make all types of excuses and say that things are okay in life. But let us understand that if we run with a crowd that is unrighteous, if we choose unrighteousness, then it will be death that we will have before us. There is power in numbers. Whether you're in school or whether you're in your job, people around you do things, and you will have to decide, do I follow what everybody else is doing, or do I stand apart and look like a Christian? Let's look at the second example of power. I'm going to call it righteous power. Righteous power. Really and truly, this is where the thought of putting together a lesson like this came for me. As I thought about these things that have happened over the past week, my mind kept going back to what happened last Sunday evening. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing in life as a Christian to see another person put on Christ through baptism. Just to see one person be baptized just energizes the soul. We got to see two put on Christ. That is energizing. That is a power in number. That is a righteous power in numbers. And as I thought about this and how energized we were and how excited I was to see people be saved from their sins, my mind drifted to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is a place that I think of where a lot of people were baptized in one place. And I think to myself how energizing it was to see two people put on Christ. What must it have been like to be there in Acts chapter 2? To see this multitude coming to Christ. Would you read with me verses 37 through 47? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Could I just pause there? 3,000? This is a big shift, isn't it? We just went from 3,000 people being put to death for their unrighteousness, and now we see the power of 3,000 people putting on Christ. We'll make more comments about that in just a moment. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What an event that must have been. Can you imagine being the apostles? They've lived with Christ. They've followed Him around. They've seen how people have treated Him, how the Pharisees have treated Him. I just have to think there might have been somewhat of a fear there that you stand up and you tell these people, "You crucified Christ. What's going to happen now?" Well, persecution is going to come, but at least on this day we see 3,000 responding to the gospel. Can you imagine the power that happened in that? Look over with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verse 41. Verse 4. Acts chapter 4 and 4. Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Wow. Acts chapter 2, we have 3,000 people obeying the gospel. Acts chapter 4, it's already up to 5,000. 5,000. What I thought about in this was pretty much a lot like what happened in Exodus. I was not there. You were not there. But I just have to think to myself that not every single person that was baptized that day said, "I hear you, Peter. I did crucify Christ. What must I do to be saved? Baptize me now." I have to think that there was a multitude of people that said, "I want to do what's right. I want to do what is obeying God." And then the number grew. Because that's what happens. You see people doing it, and you want to do it too, because there is a power in numbers, whether it be for righteousness or unrighteousness. And we see it continue to grow because people continue to see these things. May I just give us three results, three consequences of power being used for God's glory instead of unrighteousness. Three things that I notice here in Acts chapter 2 is Christ is honored. Christ is honored. When the crowd became convicted of their sins, Peter told them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized." The power happened. People continued to obey until it was 3,000. The same happened here last Sunday night. A multitude of power. Again, seeing one person be baptized is a wonderful thing, is it not? But then to see two? Christ is honored when people come to Christ. Christ is honored when we obey Him. No matter if it's one or 3,000. But it is wonderful to see the power of two coming in one day. Another thing that I see as a result of power in numbers for God's glory is that saints are encouraged. They are encouraged. We read verses 41 through 47 and we see the encouragement that is happening. As the saints are together and they're learning more about how to become a Christian. And they're taking care of one another. We see there Then in verse 46, they had a gladness and a simplicity of heart. Likewise, as a church, a spiritual charge was sent through us last Sunday night. Why? Because we were all encouraged. We were all encouraged to see somebody be taken away from Satan and be added to the church. Be added to that body that is saved. Saints are encouraged. When we join righteousness, we encourage one another. On the other hand, when we join unrighteousness, we're discouraged. Brethren, think about these things before you make decisions. It is not just about you. It is about discouraging or encouraging those around you. Everything we do has an action and a reaction. The third thing that I see as a result is sinners are convicted. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I believe that, as I said a moment ago, that it is not unfair to say that the more people that came, the more people wanted to come. I think the same happened here last Sunday evening. See, because when sinners see salvation, it convicts them. It convicts us as Christians when we see those coming to Christ. When we see salvation taking place, it makes us reflect on ourselves, doesn't it? That always helps. It helps people to come to Christ when they see salvation. I want to finish by looking at the point that we all have choices to make. I want us to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We have choices. We've talked about a power in number. There is power in numbers, whether you know it or not. Do you choose to be unrighteous or with the righteous people? Ecclesiastes chapter 4 talks about a power in numbers. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Would you read with me verses 9 through 12? "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Not quickly broken. We see that there is power in numbers. A threefold cord. What is a threefold cord? That is two of us, in this passage talking about male and female, a married couple. And what is the third? God. Between two of us and God, it is hard to bring us down because we have Him. On the other hand, when we choose to be around unrighteousness and we choose to be unrighteous, well, there's a power there. There was a story that I read not too long ago and I wanted to share it with you. It was talking about a shepherd of a church. And this shepherd had a member of the flock that started missing services, wasn't around a whole lot. So the shepherd did his job and went out to this person's home, wanted to visit with them a little while, see what could be done for the person, see why they had been missing worship services. Got into the conversation with this saint, and the saint said, "Well, I just don't feel that I need to be with a group of Christians just to study my Bible. I think I can study the Bible just fine here by myself." Well, the shepherd told that saint, "Well, but it's about encouraging one another, lifting up one another. That's what God says. He wants us to be together." And that Christian said, "Well, I don't really need to be around everybody to be encouraged. I'm encouraged all by myself." The elder thought for a moment, "How can I explain this to the Christian a little more?" The elder looked over at the fireplace that was burning. He took out the poker and he took one of the coals out of the fireplace and he moved just one of the coals over off to the side, away from all of the other burning coals. He gave it just a few moments and that one coal had now turned from fiery red to gray and smoking. The elder pointed out, when you take the coal away from the group of good, then it will die and it will fade out. To try to explain it to that saint. May I tell you, the same thing applies for us tonight. We have choices to be righteous or unrighteous. If we choose to pull ourselves away from the Christians in this group and pull ourselves away from the Word of God, then we will be just like that one coal sitting over here by itself, and we will fade out. If we want to stay strong in God, we will be around each other. We will choose righteousness, and we will always choose what God wants instead of just selfishly what we may want to do. That's why God put us in groups like this. God knew that there would be times of discouragement. There would be times where we would want to be unrighteous. There would be times where we need the encouragement from one another. That's why He placed us in this group. I ask you tonight, which one will you choose? There is a power in numbers. You can choose to either be around unrighteousness or righteousness. To go cold on Christ or to be on fire for the Lord. Which one will you choose? Tonight is another opportunity for you to choose. If you're already a child of God, you're going to go home tonight. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to have your work week. You're going to have decisions to make. I pray that you will be in the power of righteousness. If you have not yet put on Christ through your obedience of baptism, there is a power that speaks volumes of that as well. It's a disobedient one. One that is disheartening to God and to Christ who died on the cross for you. Tonight, if you're ready to put on Christ, you're ready to say, I want to be among righteousness, will you allow us to help you right now as we stand and sing? Would you live for Jesus and be always pure?